Okay, so Nichtam B'David, a Nichtam for David, we don't yet say different Hirushma, that's what the word Nichtam means. It means a gold, the finest gold. Okay, Zav Tar. I showed you actually yesterday, what is Zav Tahar? Zav Tahar is regular gold purified 1,000 times. They take Zav, ordinary gold, you put it into a refinery, you repeat the process 1,000 times, you go down from 1,000 each time you... Well, it says like this, you put 1,000 talents of gold, whatever that is, enormous. Thank you very much. Okay, I'll take another one.
I'm sorry, like, no. What the hell?
I'll take yours, because yours is mole bracha.
Yes,
mine is just stand.
Baruch
atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaray. Good.
Now I understand what people say when they listen. So I was listening on the phone. The beginning was a little bit...
It wasn't clear?
Yeah, I think it was like when echo was out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it? Can I ask what pasuk you want? I know where...
Page 118. 118, Mizmar. Just reviewing very quickly. Mizmar Tes Zayin. Nichtam L'David. Okay, so Michtam David, Michtam means many different translations. We had it means simply, it means gold, the finest gold. And in this context, it means that David over here is saying that this Mizmar in his eyes is precious like gold, what he's about to say. Other interpretation, Michtam is a musical instrument. Okay, and we'll see some more ideas later. David over here is coming to beg Hashem, please guard me. Please protect me because I seek refuge in you only. Amart la Hashem. It's a command. Amart. You shall say to God. Who's you? David is addressing his neshama. David is saying to the neshama, neshama, I demand that you declare to Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Otto. You are my master. I'm commanding the Neshama to state that God is my master. I am the servant, he is the master. I humble myself before you. Toivasi balalecha. All of the good things that you have done for me, and you continue, I don't deserve it. It's not your job, Hashem, to bestow upon me this infinite kindness. I do not deserve it. I did not deserve it, but rather the only reason why I have merited all this blessing is because of l'kedoshim asher bar. It's the holy people that are in this world, v'adirei, and the mighty yirei shemayim. The translation of the word v'adirei refers to people who are yirei shemayim. It's only because of them, kol chefsi vam. You have to translate the words backwards. Bam. It's because of them, kol chefsi, that I merit to enjoy all of these good things, all of my desires. Did it come to me? It's only in their merits. Okay, next. Yirbu, now he goes into the wicked, the Rishayim. Yirbu, Atzvoisam, may the wicked, may their suffering, may their sadness increase. Acher Maharu, who should suffer? The people who, Acher Maharu, who are, give gifts. According to the Mitzudas, David, the word Maharu means a gift. Acher is an idol. Those people who offer gifts to idols. Bal asich niskehem midam, may it be that I never participate in offering sacrifices and pouring blood to their idols. I should never offer a sacrifice. You offer a sacrifice, so you spill the blood before the idol. May it be that bal asich, I never, he's praying for himself, it should never happen in my life that I should ever stumble and fall and become an idolater. You never know. A person never knows. Rachman will send where what could happen to him. Look what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's grandchildren were the shamoshim in the base of Avodah Zarah. They were the shamash. In how could it be Moshe Rabbeinu, the mamash, the one that took Klal Yisrael to go into Shemayim for 40 days, for 120 days, did not eat. He's known greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, and his grandchildren were servants, they worked for Pesel Micha, an idol. They were the shamashim, the reverend of the church. So David of Yomach said, may it never be that my descendants should participate in the offering of sacrifices. These are a play on the words. These two words means the poor. Ordinarily, we like to say Nesachim, it refers to wine. And we will see that's true according to some of the commentaries. But according to them, it's discover the word, and this here in this context means blood. May it be that I never go and I pour, I never pour blood to Avodah Zarah. Val I never mention the name of an idol on my lips. Pasikei Hashem Naschelti, Hashem, you are my portion. The Kaisi Ata, another expression, the different repetition, different expression, which means you are my portion. Taimich Goyroli, you support my lot. You Taimich means to support, or mean in this context it means that you select. You have selected for me my lot in life. Okay, further, next pasuk. Pasuk Vav Chavolim Nafli Ban Imin. I have merited to inherit beautiful, pleasant portions of land. Or I don't know if it means here land mamish. It means that my portion of life is pleasant. Af Nachalos Shafra Aloi. My inheritance is beautiful to me. Pasuk Zayin, Avarech Es Hashem Asher Yotzani. May I bless Hashem who has counseled me. Af Leilois Yisruli Chil Yosoi, in the evenings when it's quiet and there are no distractions, my kidneys have chastised me as to why I'm wasting my life and doing nothing good with my life, and why am I making foolish decisions. And when it's quiet, that's the time when the person is able to think very deeply, and he tries to contemplate and delve deeply into his mind what is the proper approach to life. I learned actually yesterday that I read a little article about what did the Avoy, who taught Avram Avinu Torah? What did he learn? So it says in the Medrash, his kidneys were his chavrusas. What does that mean exactly? His kidneys, every day he learned with his kidneys. What does that mean exactly?
So to avoid the problem, he calls it mind.
He calls what?
He defines it as mind.
And mind, let's see, Pasuk Zion in the Mitzvah.
Sorry, it's a little bit of an echo.
No, I meant this.
Oh, yeah.
His kidneys supposed to be the seat of the council, right?
Okay, right. It means, okay. Is it better now? Mr. Cohen, it's better now, yeah? You hear? Could you hear?
Yes.
Okay, you'll tell me if it's too low. Is it still an echo?
No.
A little bit better now? A little bit lower? Okay. All right. Okay, next. Pasik Ches, Shivisi Hashem Lenegi Samit. Like this is where we're up to. It's an incredible hashgacha process that we're reading this pasuk today. It's beyond belief that we're reading this pasuk today on Purim Katan, because we do later on today the last siman in Shulchan Aruch or Chaim is about Purim Katan. That's the last siman, and the last words of Aruch Chaim is Leiv Toiv Mishte Tamid. How does Shulchan Aruch open up? This pasuk. Shivisi Hashem Lenegi Samit. So is it not amazing for Hashgacha Pradis that today this Mashu we're up to? So everything they we're up to Pasuk Ches. We're starting to the Pasuk Ches. I don't plan this. It's an incredible Hashgacha Pradis that today Purim Katan, when it's Simin, the last Simin, where the last Simin concludes of Leiv Toiv Mishteh Tamid, and we're learning now on this day the Pasuk, the first words of Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Unbelievable, huh? You can't have that. It's a sign from the Shemayim that we're on course. At least we hope. Okay, it's really unbelievable. It's not a small thing.
I have a problem with the word Negdi.
Yeah.
Negdi is usually against me.
Okay. Very good. So
say Muri.
He's saying very good.
Against me.
So maybe what we say, yeah, what you're saying is really is that, that to be in front of me, it's not, you need someone to challenge you. A person can always grow. So if you have like Moses story in the Gemara,
your wife is Asa Kinegdo,
right?
It could be good or it could be bad.
No, but Kinegdo can also be very good. Kinegdo
can
have
some sense. Kinegdo
could
be good.
I don't know what the Gemara is. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. After Rish Lakish died, Rabbi Yochanan was a Chavrusa. Oy Chavrusa, I mean Susa, with Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish passed away. Rabbi Yochanan was extremely depressed. So they provided him, they searched out, we need to get Rabbi Yochanan a new chavrusa. They sent him to the morning kollel, didn't go well. He needs a chavrusa. He can't just go listen to a shi, he needs a chavrusa. So they found the best bachur in Leikwa, the best Talmud Leikwa, the Gemara says who he was, and they brought him to learn with Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan, he learned with him one day and he hated him. Why? He said, because this Talmud Chacham, everything that Rabbi Yochanan said, the Talmud, this Talmud Chacham brought to him, supported him. Oh, what you're saying is excellent. It's what the Chiddush that you said, we can prove that you're right. From this Gemara over here, and this Gemara over here, and this Chazal here. Next Sugi. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, excellent. I'll prove to you that you're right. From this Sugi here, that Sugi here. So Rabbi Yochanan says, get out of here. I don't want this Chavrusa. We're Shlokish. Everything that I said, he brought 50 riyos to slug me up. You're wrong. And try to prove that I'm wrong. And I had a fight to battle and show that I'm right. This fellow, whatever I say, he says, you're right. I'll prove you're right from this to you, that to you, that to you. That's no fun. That's not fun. The fun is to fight. The fun is to be challenged in life. Yeah?
In the base medrash, David
did not allow. When David learned in the base medrash, David sat on the floor like everyone else, and it was also to call him with any title. In the David, he was the melech of Klal Yisrael. When he came to base medrash, anyone would dear say hamelech, Rav. In the base medrash, he told the people there, "You call me David. My name is David." He sat on the floor like everyone else. When he walked out of the base medrash, he put on his crown. They came with a whole entourage. He was the Melech Klal Yisrael. In the base medrash, David. How do you know this? Because the more this, they would talk.
When he was in the base medrash, he was like,
he was a regular person.
Soft as a
togas. You were not allowed to call him.
Battle.
Why were they sitting on the floor?
That's how they learned in those days. That's how they learned. In those days, they sat on cushions on the floor. That's the way. That was the style of learning. Different times. Different times.
Okay.
They sat on the floor, and there's the proof. The more they talk, so when they came to challenge, God for the Ma'aseh Ba'Sheva or different things, so there the Gemara records the conversation, and in the conversation, just David, how like Kosel Ba'Torah this pasuk. David, when the Gemara records the conversation, the Gemara goes out of its way to say when they spoke, then they called him David. That's how you talk to the Melech. You talk to the Melech, David. It's treason. You talk to the Melech, Hamelech, Kavod HaTorah, Kavod HaMalchus. You're married the Malchus. Madach, when it came to Uri Hachiti, because Uri Hachiti, he said Yoya before he said Hamelech. Okay, you're the Melech, but he says my master, the general. Chayiv Misa. He was Chayiv Misa. He was murder Malchus because of a nuance. You go and you call David by his first name. It's treason. but murder Malchus. In the Beis Medrash, this was the rule. David made the rule. When I walk into the Beis Medrash, I'm just a regular guy. We talk and learning. That's the way. Those are the set of rules when he was in the Beis Medrash. Unbelievable. So how do we get into this? Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. Oh, so Lenegdi. Lenegdi is, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a person into this world to challenge him. In this world, there's Hester Panim, this free will. Hashem is Lenegdi. Hashem is not Mimuli. Hashem is in front of me. Hashem is my buddy. Everything is good and fine. Hashem, if Hashem wanted to be Mimuli in the next world, Hashem is Mimuli. Hashem will be Mitayel with everyone in Gan Eden. We'll walk together in Gan Eden, and you're not going to be afraid of me in Gan Eden. Yeah, that's the next one. But in this world is the world where a person earns his keep. And in this world, there's Hester Panim. There are challenges. And the challenges of this world is Enoch Rami, Hashem is Lenegdi. Hashem is opposite me, he's battling me, he's challenging me to grow.
The classical case is with Yechidin, Rish Lakish used to challenge him with many, many kachas, and after Rish Lakish passed away, you know, they said, oh, is he saying it's good? I don't need anyone to tell me I'm saying good.
I need to be challenged.
I need to be challenged.
You need to be challenged. You got to get the blood pressure up a little bit. You can't let the blood pressure go too long. Okay, so the negdi summon ki mi mini bal emet from my right, from
my
right side.
The wife's job, challenging the husband.
It's true. It's very, very true.
He's a kinendo.
Ki mi mini
bal. Yes, man is not good.
It's not good. Yes, man is not good. That's right. It's not.
Yes, sir.
It's not good. You have a cabinet to show a different perspective in order to give you the big picture. Ki mimini bal emoit from my right side, bal emoit, he will not falter. Hashem will not leave my right side. Hoshia yimincha v'aneni. We must follow that Hashem's right hand. Hoshia, your right hand. Hoshia yimincha. From my right, now my right is Hashem's left. This is very complicated because if you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from my right, right. Now if Hashem is walking with you, that's why it says lenegdi. If Hashem is walking with you, my right is your left. We have two, they're locked hands, right? Two people walking together. So my right is the person who's standing next to me's left. But when Hashem is lenegdi, Hashem is opposite me, so my right is Hashem's right. That's why it has to see lenegdi. Hashem is not walking together with me, we're walking forward. Hashem is in front of me. So my right hand is Hashem's right hand. Correct?
No,
I'm making a mistake. If I'm facing
each other,
what's my right?
If Hashem is
guiding me. So here's the question. When it says here in the Negi, what does that mean? Does that mean that Hashem is facing me or Hashem is marching in front of me? Hashem said to Moshe, V'ro'iso es achoroi. Ufonai lo yero. When you see Hashem in front of you, you don't see Hashem's panim, you see Hashem's back. So my right is Hashem's right. My left is Hashem's left. Hashem is guiding me. He is my God. I'm following the leader. The leader is going forward, you follow behind. Hashem is when, so here when it says lenegdi, I'm making an assumption of it. Kshivisi Hashem lenegdi, put Hashem in front of you. So we like what? So what does it mean? Kineged? So kineged, does kineged mean like HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is facing me. We're facing each other, and we're battling. Not necessarily, because if that's going to be the case, how are you going to learn in the end of the pasuk? Mini from my right side, bal emoit. From my right, may he not falter. May he not disappear from my right side. If Hashem is facing me, then my right is his left. You don't want Hashem's left. Hashem's left is associated with midas hadin. The right is midas harachamim, and we know that a person cannot face HaKadosh Baruch Hu panim al panim because Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem said to Moshe, "V'ro'iso es achoroi ufonai lo yero'u." So David's better than Moshe Rabbeinu. So when it says here linegdi, I'm suggesting linegdi means that you're following the leader. Hashem is going forward. You're right behind Hashem, and I'm attaching myself to the right. Hashem is guiding me in this world.
This way, maybe walk back, you bounce to your left first because that's Hashem.
So there, it's connected to Shechina. So there, again, so there, when you take Hashem, Hashem is different. In Echadami.
And he's also
the negative. There, you Imri, if you have your
first.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a contradiction. There are different dimensions. In this pasuk.
No, good.
Adrama. But in this pasuk, the fact that the end of the pasuk includes ki mimini labal emoit, you're focusing on the right.
Not to Hashem is not mimini.
My right.
Do you make sure that I will always tell to the right?
But with the words, Shivisi Hashem
Lenegdi. I will always do the right thing. I'll turn to the right. Shebal Emot, because otherwise I will fall. If I go to small, I may fall.
Okay. That's a different approach. That's another approach. Absolutely, 100%. But if you want to just take the words literally, and you want to connect these words from the end of the pasuk to the beginning of the pasuk, I'm suggesting that in this case, when it says Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit, we stop right there. Okay, on the many shuls they have, on the Amor they have Shivisi Hashem this pasuk. By the way, it's interesting. It's only here for pasuk. We're very makbid. And even though it says by Chamisha Chumshei Torah, there's also by extension by Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And it's very interesting that when we put Ksukim, you would think that the same way you don't say a half a pasuk, there's a hakpada, you should not put in writing in a prominent way a half a pasuk. It's interesting that we take this, maybe there's another pasuk. Maybe sometimes the children may repeat themselves. Maybe there's another pasuk somewhere else.
We won't be saying Hashem's name. I mean, we're not
saying it,
we're saying Shri Yisrael
Hashem. Shri Yisrael Hashem, so we don't actually say we have a son. And this is the Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael is to have on the Amud, Shri Yisrael Hashem Lenegdi Samid. And there's another pasuk, another Minhag. Da'al Lefnei Miyata Oimei. We once had a whole discussion, the difference between the two.
I went to a shul once in Florida, I think it was. And it said like a Shiviti Lenegdi Tamid, and Hashem is one line above it.
Like the Kodesh La Hashem, that's it. Kodesh La Hashem.
Shiviti Hashem on the same line. So
interesting. And Rabbi Wolfson, Rabbi Moshe Wolfson, his shul in Borough Park, beautiful shul. They're very into davening, very, very powerful shul, very, very. And they have the Aron HaKodesh, it says on the big, gigantic letters of the Aron HaKodesh, Vahashem Beheichal Kodesh. Vav Hei Vahashem Beheichal Kodesh. That's what they have. It doesn't have, Shinisi doesn't have a Dalaf Nei Miyato Eimei. I always found it very, why did he select that, Pasuk? Vahashem Beheichal Kodesh. The next words are, Haskol Basar Mponai, quiet. No talking during davening.
You don't have to write it.
But the minhag Yisrael was to say that this pasuk is the most popular pasuk. There's a reason. Hanachlam liYisrael, Einim b'nei Nevim, Shavis from Nevi Samim. It could be there's another pasuk somewhere that only has this first part. But here we have a continuation. Ki mimini bal emay, from my right side, bal, he will not falter. He will not depart. He will not collapse. Now, it's interesting, if you're going to say mimini from my right side, so if you're walking together with someone, you're walking together, like going down to the chuppah, so the person that's on your right side, it's you are to their left side. Okay, today the minute when the chassid goes down to the chuppah, the minute at least in most of the wedding halls, I don't know if there's anything significant, is that the men are on the right. And the women are on the left.
I've wondered because sometimes I want to look at one of these people backwards to me, and then happens. So
is there an Indian? Is there anywhere?
I don't think if you faced
that. In ancient times, there was no such thing. In Eretz Yisrael until recently, when I was many, many years ago, Eretz Yisrael, I went to a chasna, I was very shocked, a lot of differences. A regular run-of-the-mill Yeshiva Shachasna, and there's no sitting. Now they already do sit. Years ago, you go to the chuppah was outside in one side of a courtyard, and no, there were no chairs. That's the way it was, and that's the way it still is. But not so much anymore. Now they became anglicized. They became Western civilization has penetrated into Eretz Yisrael, but it used to be standard chasna. You go to an Eretz Yisrael, you go to a courtyard, everyone just stands around, taruvis. Men and women, even they're talking about the very yeshivish crowds, the real charedim. The men and women, they stand around, they no sitting, and the masad, and the masad, the kedushin, and they do the whole thing very, it's a casual, it's not, it wasn't done with you know, with. What? They do like that also?
When they do it
outside. Yeah, but there's men over here, women over there. There's no taruvis. They do it in the street. They do it in the street. No, and the men are separate.
Ain't
a diamond. Now already, I went to Eretz Yisrael the Friday before Corona was the last time I was there, and I went to a very run-of-the-mill stand, the same type of chasna that I went to many years ago. And no, already, it's like already they have a lot of chairs. People stand around also. It's not totally like in America. There's a lot of standing around, and they have chairs. And already I see men here, women over there. It became more like America. It became.
But it's the right way, because theoretically you're supposed to be standing during the brachas of the kedushin.
The brachas.
And therefore, what we have nowadays, we've got everybody sitting during the chuppah.
Sitting the shloka halacha?
I'm not saying.
I hear, it's interesting
just
what you said. The people who make the brachas actually stand. First
right.
of all, who when the chassan kaal, this is years ago, in the ancient, not I don't know how ancient times, but years ago, when the chassan would say, Harem Mikudeshes, why do they stand? They should be sitting. Why do they stand? They, it seems like there used to be a custom where they sat down.
The chukas are very much
what? By there are a lot of similarities between marriage and Rachman son of divorce. By a divorce, or Chamon Litzlan, they're sitting. They're sitting. No, that's Chalitza. That's Chalitza. Talking about a regular divorce. A regular divorce, and they come to Bezdin, they sit, Chassan gives, they write, they get, they give, the whole procedure is done sitting. So why is Kiddushin done when the Chassan Kala are standing? Why is that the custom? The Minog, Hareat Mikudeshes is done standing. Why not sit down? What? The brachas are done before. The brachas are done in advance.
Sit down in the middle.
Why not? I don't know. Okay, these are interesting. Why the way it is? The Hanach Lachem Lishol. The way it is. That's the way it is. Whatever the reasons are, it seems very very standardized throughout the entire world that today the kiddushin is done standing. The people who make the brachas are standing, and everyone in the audience. It's a make. It seems pretty much they sit. People in the audience. That's an Eretz Yisrael now also. That's what I can't go tell you. I've never been around. My impression is it's becoming more like America, where they're moving
on the
chairs.
Side.
What?
There's a lot of people who stand on the side, and it's not because they didn't find a chair. It's because they know they're supposed to stand.
No, I don't think so.
I do. I know so.
Yeah.
There's something.
I don't know. We gotta look in Shulchan Aruch, see what it says. I don't know. Okay. In any event. So it's interesting, in America though, where they do sit, they do separate the men and the women, why is it the custom that the men generally, can't say every case, the men are on the right and the women are on the left? And the male, the shushbinin, when the parents, they mark down their children, the father is on the right side of the chassan and the mother is on the left side.
And we know that from the most incredible, including it was on the right, and then you have to go and move over to because the gadol is over here, and then your kid is right.
Okay, but you have to make a calculation. Where is the gadol facing you, or is the gadol walking together with you?
When you're walking in the street, you're supposed to have the rebbe.
Ah.
And you're supposed to be to the right of him.
You're supposed to be to the left of the rebbe.
You're supposed to be
to the left.
To the left.
Right. To the left of the rebbe.
Yes.
So here, so. All right. Who's the ikkar? The chassan is the ikkar, or the parents the ikkar? Kibbut avoim. All right, these are just throwing out something to think about. Let's go further. Let's not dwell because I don't know what I'm saying. Only thing I want to point out is here it says the word lenegdi. Lenegdi means opposite. We commonly assume it means facing me. I'm facing this direction. The person is facing me. Who says that's what it means here in this context? Maybe it means that in other places. Maybe when you daven Shmona Esrei. The understanding is that you're facing the Shechina is facing you, and you're facing the Shechina. Here, in this pasuk, Shivisi Hashem, I set Hashem l'negdi. You're not davening to Hashem. You are on a mission. You're a traveler. Hashem is your guide, your GPS. He's setting the course. I am following you. Life is like a trail. It's like a hiking trail. I'm following Hashem. Who's my guide? There are many guides. Hashem can be your guide, or you can follow some Meshuggah, and he can be your guide. He can take you down a very different path, a very different destination. I follow Hashem. I follow Hashem. Hashem's right is my right. Hashem's left is my left. If he's facing forward and I'm behind him and I'm following, it's going to be the same right, the same left. Shivis Hashem l'negdi samid ki mimini. From my right, Baal Emoit, he will not depart, he will not falter, he will not leave. Okay, this is just an idea. Let's see the Mitzvah David Pasuk Chas. We'll see a lot of things here soon. Pasuk Chas Mitzvah David. Shavisi Hashem Tamid Echshav Kilu Hashem Amil Negdi. I will always contemplate that Hashem is before me. V'roye Maasai, and Hashem sees. He sees exactly what I'm doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is observing my. So here it's a different. The Mitzvah of here is giving us a little bit of a different interpretation. Negdi. Not like what I told you. I told you a drush. Negdi the mitzudai stavrodach pshat negdi means Hashem, he is observing my deeds. That means he is facing me. And the focus of negdi is not that he's coming to battle with me, to encourage me. He sees everything that I do. Hashem is spot, there is a camera. Wherever you go, there's a camera. Hashem is watching us. B'nei dvoy ma'asa ki mimini, ki bavur ze yamoid mimini, La'azor li, because of this, Ya'amod Hashem stands, mimini, la'azor li, v'lo eheye noitel in pol, I should not fall. The Mitzvah is not giving us, you know, you're just saying it very simple, you know, very, very pshat, very simple translation. Hashem is holding me up, I should not fall. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk test. We'll come back to this with Rashi later in Avnu Farshim pasuk test. Therefore, may my heart rejoice. The word kavod is my neshama. Okay, another reason why this mizmor is so important to be said by a levaya. The word kavod is ura kavodi. Kavod is always a reference, another term for the neshama. I know we only have my conscious five words for the neshama, but the word kavod is another word describes another element of the neshama. The yogel kivaydi, my honor, af bisari yishkol levetach, my bosar, may you dwell in security. Obviously a reference to a funeral. In the funeral, the neshama is going to go where it's going to go, and the bosar, the guf, is going to rest in peace. Rest in peace somewhere here on this world in a unique mokoyim. Okay, let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk test on page 127, like Sarah. Okay, samach libi, my heart rejoices. Kisasik ta'avosa, it will achieve its desire. Vayogel kavodi hi haneshama, she kavod haguf. Okay, the covering he says is the neshama. Yishkon achar hamavis bekever, it will dwell in betach. Betach is a really great word. What does betach mean? Betach means security. It means confidence. It says by the Bnei Ruvain and Shimon and Levi. When Shimon and Levi they obliterated Sodom, Vayavoy al Ha'ir al Shechem Betach, with confidence. Okay, there it doesn't mean we like to say Betach means security. That's how in modern Hebrew is probably more, but in the Torah Betach means clearly that Shimon and Levi, they attack Betach. Rashi there says the zuchus of the zaken. They were confident that the zuchus of Yaakov Avinu would protect them in this war, in this Mulchemes mitzvah, to wipe out Shechem for the avera of what they've done to their sister. V'chein lo yose hachazoyne yase achaseinu v'chein lo yose. Such a thing should not be done, therefore they went al-ho'ir betach, confident. So when a person leaves this world, and he leaves his body, the neshama goes to Shemayim, and he leaves his body here in this world, he's confident. What is he confident about? What's he confident about? He says over here, yishkon levetach, my body will remain in this kever. I'm confident of what? I guess it means that he'll come back to it. He will return to find everything in place at the time of Techiyas HaMeisim, and it will be resurrected. When he comes back at the time of Techiyas HaMeisim, he has to come back to his body, to the dust, to the luzbo. It has to be reconstructed from somewhere. So where will it be? Where will it be reconstructed from? From the body. He has to be confident he'll find the body will be here. He'll find it when he needs it. Whatever that means. Let's go next part. Pass
it good. After all the chasing and running in this world, he suffered so much.
I know, but it doesn't say menucha. The word betach is not menucha. Betach means It means confidence. It means security.
The body,
that's what they say, whatever that means.
We haven't checked it.
Exactly. And what does it mean, the body that doesn't listen to that? What do all these things mean? Whatever. Pasuk Yud. Ki lo yisazov nafshi l'shol. Hashem will not abandon my neshama to the grave. Lo yisitein chasidcha l'roi shachas. Okay, we have over here, there's an extra yud. The way it's spelled with two yuds, but we ignore the second yud. We ignore the second yud. And we pronounce it chasidcha. It's a shva no, because there's a chidik mole after chasidcha. There is a chidik mole with a yud, therefore you have no choice. The dal is a shva no, and it's milra. There's also trop on the ches. I don't know. Tillim has its own set of trop. Fine, whatever it is. It will not allow loisitin chasid chol l'roshachas. You will not allow your pious one to see the grave, to see the shachas. What do you mean? He's in the grave. So shachas here means gehenna. Shachas over here does not mean, shachas does not mean over here the grave. It means, what?
You said
the shachas, which is the grave. So I guess, so these words must, the person over here has died, the neshama has died. Al derech pshat means that David over here is saying, don't let me die, let me live a little longer. Do not allow your pious one to go into the grave. Fine, that's al derech pshat. But let's say you want to learn this, the list on the more esoteric mahalich, that the person already died. If the person already died, what is he asking Hashem? He's already dead. So obviously these two words, the sha'ol and shochash, refer to different chambers of Gehenna. Now that my neshama has left this world, and now they're taking it away, an Uber has come to pick me up, the neshama. Where is the Uber driver taking me? Remember, never get in a vehicle with a stranger. Here the neshama has left this world, and now it's taking a taxi. And the taxi driver says, come, neshama, come with me, come into my car, my mobile, I'll take you somewhere. Where is it going to take me? It can take it to Gan Eden, it can take it to Shachas, it can take it to the Sha'ol. These are all different chambers in heaven, or in wherever they're going, in the other world. So the Pashut Shad is over here is being Mespal Hashem, I'm sick. Please grant me a refuah shalema. Do not allow me to die. That's Pashut Shad.
He's afraid of the sin that he did.
Of Basheva. Basheva, other sins also, right? Nechonam. Do not let me die. But Al Derech Drush, when this really, you know, the esoteric Pshad over here in the Sukkim is referring to the other world. So let's see in the Mitzvah David, Pasuk Yud in the Mitzvah David. Ki loy sazev nafshi, loy sichale nafshi bakever imagov. Do not allow my neshama to be consumed, to wither, to be finished off in the grave with my body. Lo sitain. Al hanefesh yomar v'chotel dov b'mila shayna. It's referring to the neshama. Okay, that's what he says. So it's referring to the neshama. According to the Mitzvah David, lo sitain chasidcha l'roi shachas, referring to the neshama, does the word shachas mean the grave? He's already dead. Obviously, it means Gehenna. All right, we'll come back to that a little bit later on. Let's see further. To the Eni Orachayim, pasuk, the last pasuk, Hashem, make it known to me the ways of life, the path of life. Hashem, the way, the path of life. Soiva simochis es konecha. Soiva simochis, the satisfaction of joy. Esponecha, the satisfaction of joy of seeing your face, ni'imois, with pleasantness, b'mincha, in your right, along your right side, netzach, forever. Very, very hard pasuk to translate and to understand. It's probably one of the most mystical psukim there is in the whole Tanakh. Okay, because it's referring to the neshama. When the neshama leaves, what exactly is happening over here? The double is being spelled that after the neshama leaves the body and the person dies, this is his request, to make it known to me the ways of life. Obviously it refers to the Chaya Olam Haba, and the satisfaction of joy in the presence, in your presence. pleasantness along your right side, netzach. Hey, scary, spooky stuff. Mitzudois David, Pasik Yud Aleph. Todi Eini, Tein Videa, grant me knowledge, Lolechas to go, but Oirach in a way, Hamidia Hachaim Hanitzchim in a way, to bring me eternal life, Liyay Sovea, to be satisfied, Bismachos, enjoy. No, no. Give me satisfaction, give me eternal life, to have satisfaction. B'masha erenu espanecha. What is the ultimate joy, the satisfaction of joy, to see upon him? U'chmoisham razal, she'at tzadikim nenen miziv hashchina. So this expression, according to the Mitzvot David, of soiva simochos espanecha, it's almost impossible to translate. The best that we can do is, what we quote another chazal, Masechta Berachos Dav Yitzayin, to be nene miziv hashchina. That's how we are going to translate these words. To the Nene Miziv Hashina, that's all he Mitsudois. Okay, the next page, on page 128, Mi'inois, Vilihiois Savea, to be satisfied, Ad Netzach, forever, Minachani'imois, Hanesunois, B'mincha, from the pleasantness that are presented, B'mincha. Vehem Tanuge Ha'ilam Abba, Hane'ehodim V'hani'imim. Which are the joy of Olam Haba, which are beloved and pleasant. Okay, so these are obviously very mystical things. We'll come back and we'll discuss some of these things soon. Let's now review the entire Mizmah with Rashi. Rashi is to pass two of this Mizmah. Let's go back to Mizmah, page 118, Nichtam L'David. We've gone through the basic Pshat. Now Rashi is much more Midrashic, and there's many, many more in Yonah. Nichtam L'David, page 118 in Rashi, with the David, Amir Rabbi Sayyid, David Shoyim Mach Vitam. So we learned yesterday, we learned Pashpashah was Nichta means gold, the finest gold, Zahav Tar. I mentioned in the beginning, for some people came in, is that Zahav Tar, so yesterday is, it's gold that has been refined 1,000 times. Okay, you put into a kifshan, into a smelting furnace. Metal, and you refine it 1,000 times, it removes the impurity, it reduces it by 1,000%. And that's the first pshat. The other pshat says, Nichtam, Nichtam means it's a musical instrument. Rashi is saying, no, he's going along the Medrash. Nichtam is a composite of two words, Moch and Tam. Moch means to be soft, Tam means complete. Or mach in lushan of hakah, to be smitten, and tam is complete. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Nichtam l'David. I remember saying l'David, shayu mach v'tam. What does that mean? Shachoysa makosoi tama, his wound was complete. Shenoilad mahol. A very fascinating chazal. Whoever never heard of this before, that David was noilad mahol. We heard that Moshe, vayar ki toivhu. He was toiv Rashi on the pasuk that Moshe was noilad mohol. What does it mean over here that David was born mohol? He already had a circumcision. Tremendous chiddush. You know why it's a very big chiddush? Because David's greatest concern in life was Bathsheba. And Bris Milah, the whole purpose, the whole meaning of Bris Milah, is to conquer the Yetzirah for Arayos. That's what it's all about. Chazal say, the Rambam says it's the Feirush. Scientifically, I think it's acknowledged by the Goyim, is that the Orla, the foreskin, has nerve endings, which are marbe taiva, and give a person more tanug in this. And the Goyim, to see a Jew remove the Orla, they can't believe what's going on. It's like you take away a person's taste buds. The hanov life is to have hanov. To have hanov, you enjoy yourself, you eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. Why would a person want to go and take away his taste buds? Don't you want to have the hanov eating food? So the orla, the removing of the orla, takes away permanently a person's ability to be, to have tainug, in this inyun, to a higher level. So the goyim, it's anathema to them. How could you take away the arla? You are diminishing taiva. Now, I don't know if today, what science says today about this, I once read up that it's true. There is, maybe today in Mishnah, I'll tell a little bit, it's not as true as it used to be, for whatever the reasons may be. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But this is, I'm just telling you different. The Rambam says this. The Rambam writes it out, it's clear. The reason why the Arla is removed, obviously it's Gezeres HaKasav, the Bris, v'chulu, but al derech, you know, Ta'ameh HaMitzvahis, it's a Jew has to know he's not here in this world for his pleasure. And a person has to be Mekadesh Atzma B'Mutalach, he has to diminish his pleasure in this world in order not to get swept away and focus on what is correct, to focus on Yirah Shemayim. David's biggest, now therefore, when you take that idea of the Rambam and you focus on a principle called B'noilad Mohu, you don't need to do a Bris Milah. So what does that mean? It means a person doesn't have tithing. A person, like, this is in a bad way, Rahman al-Islam, there are people that are sick today. They don't have tithing. Okay? There are people who are chemicals. You don't have to go into all these different types of illnesses and different situations. We are people who don't have tithing, and that is viewed as a sickness. That's viewed as a terrible thing. That's their problem. I know. So I told you the story of once. This one, I was eavesdropping a conversation I really was not supposed to be listening to, and it was a person talking to a rav. I don't know, I'm sure Rob, but he was like a guidance counselor sort of type of thing. And he was this young boy was telling him that he really can't control himself. And he's young, you know, with computers and all this. And he says he's addicted, he needs help, and he's ashamed. And he was suffering from a little bit of depression. So the counselor, I was very impressed with, he said to him, "You don't have to be ashamed, nothing." He says, "You know, Baruch Hashem, you know what this means? You're a healthy person. You're a healthy man. You're a healthy male. Okay, we have to figure out a solution. You know that you should. But you know, I deal with people," he says, "that are sick people. They're very sick people. They don't have the right Yetzirah. Baruch Hashem, this is your problem. Baruch Hashem, you're a healthy person." I remember at that time, it was years ago, it really blew my mind.
Are they short?
Blew my mind. Like, you know, he took something which like, you know, a young yeshiva bacha is ashamed of. And this person was telling him, "Baruch Hashem, you're very fortunate. Because there are a lot of crazy sickos out there that don't have other types of problems in this matter. And that means they're sick people. So Baruch Hashem, you're a healthy person. You're a healthy person. You just have to control it." So you talk about a person that's noilad moho, and you talk about the Rambam, what the Rambam says about what the purpose of bris milah is, and then a person who doesn't have a bris comes into this world, he already had the bris milah, he's already corrected. So if you take that to an extreme, you know what it means? A person comes into this world, he has no yetzahara for arayas. He's not like Mohol. It's not an issue. The Gemara talks about one of the Amorim that he would stand outside the mikvah so that when women come out of the mikvah, they should look at him. Because see, Rabbi Yochanan was beautiful. So that when they come out, they should look at him, they should see beauty. And then when they're with their husbands, they'll be mechaving the yoifi of Rabbi Yochanan, and they'll have beautiful children. So the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yochanan, "You know, if you're living in the 21st century, they'll put you away." They will lock you up. So he says, "Baruch Hashem, now living in the 21st century." he says, "To me, women are like pieces of wood. They're like, oh, like there's nothing more. They're like birds. They're like nothing." What does that mean? I have no Yetzirah. He said, "What does that mean? I mean, you can be mafalpo on this." And he says, "I conquered my Yetzirah." What does that mean exactly? No one conquers the Yetzirah. What does that mean exactly? I don't know what it means. This is something which, you know, the Gedalia Shalom of Falcon, what exactly, don't try this at home, that we can tell you for sure, but what does this mean over here? A person that is Noilad Mohol, if you want to go look at this from the perspective of a more of a Hashkaf, an Olam HaMachshava, It means a person has conquered, thoroughly conquered his taiva for arayas. If that's the case, it makes the question of David and Bathsheba all the more difficult. David goes to the roof to air out his head, and he goes engaged in target practice, it says in Chazal. He was target practice, there were birds flying, and he was doing target practice, shooting birds with his bow and arrow. And the bird came and went into the vicinity of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was on the roof next door, and she was bathing, and she had a basket over her head, and the bird went in that direction, and he shot after the bird, and he shot right at that basket, and his arrow went and uncovered, caused the head covering of the of Bathsheba to fall off. Well, he didn't kill her, but it was a stray bullet. He didn't kill her. And then what did he see? He saw her hair exposed, and he was filled with passion. He saw this beautiful woman, hair exposed, and he called, who's that woman across the street? Bring her to me. What's her name? She's the wife of Ori HaChiti. Good. Ori gave her a get, because Ori was in the front, he right away wanted his computer. He had, David was the melech. He had access to the CIA, to the military. He went on his computer, he logged in to the military. Ori HaChiti, where is he? GPS. He's now on the battlefield. He's on the battlefield. They were able to track him, Mamish. The coordinates. They knew exactly where he was. And they had CRISPR in those days. You know what CRISPR is? Nanotechnology. They can track you wherever you are. So he logged in with CRISPR. They found exactly where he is. Oh, she gave a get. It's on file. He went into the archives. He went into the documents of the military. He gave her a get. Good. She's mine. Bring her to me. What? Call Oimer David Chata in Elatoya. But he was chay. His whole life he's doing teshuva for this. What's going on? It's now add to the equation. What was it? What was his? If Mishlan knew something from the 21st century, okay, Yetzirah, we understand it. Taiva, Yetzirah is out of control. Okay, he's Moli Taiva. So he sees a beautiful woman. Okay, husband's in the battle. Husband gave her a divorce. Okay, oh, I'm entitled. He's the Melech. He can have 18 wives. He can do whatever he wants. But David has no Yetzirah. David was Noilad Mahol. If David is Noilad Mahol, it means this is not his issue in the world. Moshe